today.
It's a red, white, support the blue flashback weekend. Flashing back to our favorite interviews with those that have put their lives on the line for their fellow citizens.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake is with us. Robin, former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. We're talking about Brian Koberger today. Arraignment just recently taking place. Robin, I guess the question is, where do we go from here?
Yeah, you know, I was reading up on this again this morning. Idaho is a fascinating place, and they got a quick timeline once he pleads that I think it was 60 days. If they're going to go for the death penalty, they have to go pretty rapidly on that to go for the death penalty. So I think we're going to see a lot of things up front moving pretty rapidly on that. And it's interesting, too. I can't wait to see. Boy, that sounds morbid, doesn't it? I can't wait to see the evidence that they have. I think there's even more there that they've discovered than we're aware of.
Yeah,
I think they've done a really good job investigating this. And I was watching the news this morning, and I'd be interested to see if this comes to play or not. I've read a lot on stalkers and stalker behavior, and he really doesn't quite fit the stalker profile. He is more of the serial killer, and they can overlap, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's more things that are kind of arising that there's some stalkership to him. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys on the news this morning was theorizing that possibly he might have even been nesting inside that house, kind of laying in wait and watching and observing people, like hidden in closets and stuff, really creepy stuff. So I'd be interested to see whether any of that comes to play or not.
That's very interesting. There had been some reports that he had broken into a female colleague's house before the murders actually took place, but didn't really do anything. Just, I mean, kind of moved a couple things around here and there, but didn't take anything, didn't attack anybody. Not even sure if that was necessarily a target of a person. More so, it was a training ground, if you will.
Yeah, and it kind of still goes to the whole arc in his life, as I love talking about my human arcs. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, at a young age, he identified himself as being someone who is emotionalist. And what typically happens with people that are in pain and trauma and have edging up high on psychopathy, obviously, is this lack of emotion and emotional response and just any kind of stimulus. And so they're constantly trying to push the edge of doing things to get some sort of response so they can feel an emotion of some sort. And so I think what we're seeing is the arc of his life is he's constantly doing these different behaviors to test, can this cause a response? Can I feel something from this? Can I get a rise out of this? And obviously it escalated to, you know, well, we'll see when we go to trial. But what we're theorizing is it escalated into these murders. And he had a whole lot of escalation before that, obviously.
Is that a common trait in people who murder, especially something horrible like this, where it's multiple people, where after they get caught, they express that they have exactly what you just said. They're emotionless, but very specific extreme acts lets them feel something. And that's why they seek it out, because the rest of their life, it's just flatlined, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know if it's what they express as to why they did it, but as the clinicians I've read from, that's why they've assessed that they do it, is because of this lack of emotion and trying to get some sort of stimulus. And I mean, when you think about it, about all of us, you know, why do we do anything that we do? We're looking for validation. We're looking for accolades. You know, we're looking for a dopamine hit from the things we do in everyday life. Listen to a podcast on true crime. You know, that gives us a sense of rise, a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging. And that's a normal reaction that human beings that fall within healthy behaviors have. But if you don't have that biochemical triggers that's going on in the brain that give you that same sort of reaction, and if you fall into the cult of comparison, or the disease of comparison, where you're seeing people around you having these emotional responses, you feel even more left out. And so you're not quite sure what to do. Mm-hmm. And if you learn some really unhealthy things, you're going to keep trying to see if that works. Well, let me try that. Let me try this. Let me try that. Mm-hmm. And you keep escalating because you have a lack of empathy, as psychopaths do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that you're doing harm to others. You're not even cognating that you're doing harm to others. You're just reacting to the world around you.
In terms of evidence and such, you had mentioned that you feel there's probably a lot more that we're not aware of. I feel the same way. But we're likely not going to be seeing any of that anytime soon, correct? That's going to end up coming out in the actual trial between now and then. It seems our main thing that we're going to be finding out is just the plea. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's what I believe that we're going to see first. And I think that it's not necessarily the plea deal.
The what he's pleading.
Right. And what I think it'll be interesting is if they do go for the death penalty really rapidly, I think that's showing that the prosecution does have an overwhelming amount of evidence that I think obviously they're going to do that in combination with the families and what the families are seeking, mm-hmm. but also what the prosecutor thinks they can do. And I think if we see them going for the death penalty pretty rapidly on this as a response, that's saying, hey, we got a lot here and we're really confident that we're going to be able to get it.
If they didn't have very, very strong evidence against him, would they be going after a death penalty? Have you ever seen that where the state pushes death, but maybe their case is not as strong as we all thought it was?
Maybe. You know, I think it won't necessarily be the death penalty that'll be the thing that tips it. It'll be whether they're willing to do a plea deal to plead down to life, maybe, rather than death. And so if the prosecution is willing to bargain after they go for the death penalty, I think that's kind of tipping how strong they think their case is. But because Koberger brought in a new attorney, the high-powered Lisa Massoth. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be a battle for them. But I saw a lot of really good things from the investigation side, and I think they're pretty solid in what they have, at least, you know, the 30,000 foot level that we have out here.
From what we know already, it seems pretty strong. I'd be curious to see what's behind the curtain.
Yeah, me too. I think they've done a really good job. That corporal out there that led that investigation, rallying all the different resources he had into a single point of success or failure in him. Mm-hmm. I thought did a tremendous job.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you so much for your insight into this case as it continues to move forward. We'll keep you covered right here with all of the latest updates and discussions. If you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about on the program, you are invited to do so. The phone number 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.